It's time for the Calgary Stampeders Report, and today, a live edition of the Calgary Stampeders Report. Let's say hello to our Sportsnet 960 Stampeders Insider. Matty Rose joins us on the program right now. Hello, Matthew.
Oh, fellas, what a treat. How are we doing?
Good, brother. Good. How we how
Better
we feeling?
Now that you're here.
It is nice to hear your voice.
Feeling great, boys. It's a beautiful day. The weekend looks like it's going to be a doozy. I am going to be a busy, busy fellow, which I like. And, it's Friday. Let's get after it.
Well, and I know you've got Hittman pregame tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But first of all, just before we get into the nitty-gritty of the Stamps and the Lions, how excited are you for this showdown in B.C.?
Man, I'm fired up. This is going to be a big one. The Stampeders have been playing some pretty good football lately. Back-to-back wins for the first time this season. It doesn't hurt that it came against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Obviously a divisional opponent, getting some divisional wins, winning the season tiebreaker, and now you go into BC with a little bit of juice, a little bit of energy. The team is doing pretty good injury-wise right now, but really looking forward to this one. I love when Michael Riley and Bo Levi Mitchell go toe-to-toe. It's always fun to see these two veteran CFL gunslingers go head-to-head.
Let's get into the depth chart. What are we looking at in terms of changes for tomorrow night?
Three changes for the Calgary Stampeders on their roster. Now, the most notable is going to be no Jake Mayer as the backup quarterback. Jake tested positive for COVID-19. We were informed of that on Tuesday. He has to be out a minimum of 10 days, and then kind of a reassessment at that point. As of Tuesday, things were pretty good symptom-wise. He was in good spirits, as per Dave Dickinson. So that is a good sign, at least. Obviously, not ideal. But the good news was, as the week went on, nobody else appeared on the injury report with any COVID-related illness. So the team is able to hop on the plane, go out to BC, and get this game going. Michael O'Connor will back up Bo Levi Mitchell as a result. The Canadian, who won a Vanier Cup with the UBC Thunderbirds. So we'll see how much action he gets into as he heads back out to where he played his university ball. Also notable, the returner, Malik Henry, is going to miss this game, out with a knee injury. He was a full participant in practice on Thursday. He's on the practice roster. Now, I was told that there is a chance that he does play in this game. Ante Milanovic-Litre listed as a third-string running back. He's been banged up with a rib injury, and they're not entirely sure if he's going to be able to go. So they might have to do a little bit of roster juggling in that sense. But Rock Thomas comes onto the roster, an American running back who's been here since training camp, a guy who can return kicks if needed. Granted, he hasn't played yet, but that's a guy that we'll look to in the return game if Malik Henry does not end up dressing for this one. He's not on the roster. He's on the practice roster, but he's with the team. And then the other change is on the defensive line. Stephon Banks comes in. Casanova McKenzie goes out. McKenzie had played last game, but tight hamstring popped up on the injury report Wednesday. So he will not play in this contest, and they'll go to Stephon Banks, who is a former player of the week for the Stampeders. Of course, had the three sacks against the Elks about a month ago now, I guess. And one of three Stampeders who's been player of the week honors. Now, Banks will be a backup, but they'll rotate guys in on that defensive line as they try and create as much havoc as possible for Michael Riley. But, yeah, just three changes this week. Nothing as far as guys moving around on the roster. So this is what we're going to be going with.
Matty Rose is with us, our Stampeders Insider, Stamps Lions tomorrow. What are the keys to beating BC?
Well, I think the biggest one is going to be limiting the downfield action. Like, Brian Burnham had himself an incredible game way back in week two. He's a guy who has been a thorn in the Stampeders side in the past. Now, granted, in week two, Lucky Whitehead was also certainly a factor. Whitehead and Burnham went for over 100 yards receiving each in that contest, and Whitehead is now on the six-game injured list with a pretty nasty break in one of his fingers. So Brian Burnham becomes the kind of de facto guy that the Stampeders have to be ready to cover. Now, I think that they're in a really good spot to do that. Sean Amos and Raheem Wilson, the boundary tandem of defensive backs, will be tasked with probably keeping an eye on Burnham, you'd have to assume. And then the veteran, Jamar Wall, who's bumped from the Sam linebacker to the safety position, I'd expect he's going to have his eye on Burnham for the majority of this game. But there's some other receivers you got to be aware of on this team as well. Most of the Canadians, Lamar Durant, the former Stampeders, Shaq Johnson, those will be guys to watch downfield for sure. But the key to slowing down Michael Riley is making sure that he's doesn't have time to throw. And the years that he's been in BC, when he hasn't been successful, it's been when that offensive line is just in tatters. And I think that's going to be the key for the Stampeders. The defensive line has gotten a lot better as the season's gone on. They've credited that to their in-person meetings, which they've been able to do for a couple of weeks now. And we're starting to see the results. I'm really bullish on one of their high picks, Isaac Adeyemi-Berglund, who's a rookie this year. He's coming a long way. He's helping out on special teams as well. Sean Lemon is still a force. And then the two guys on the interior, Mike Rose and Derek Wiggin, who might be one of the best interior defensive line tandems in the league. Plus, then behind him, you get Darnell Sankey, who's having an amazing rookie year in the CFL, a guy who's NFL experience, but nevertheless a CFL rookie. And then Jameer Thurman, just a great showing from the defense recently. So that's going to be key, slowing down the offense, obviously. And then you're going to need the receivers for the Stampeders to, you know, do their part as well. Kamar Jordan, not ready to return just yet, still dealing with a hamstring injury. But Marquise Ambles and Josh Huff will be the go-to guys. Can Herji Mayala and Nick Hawley and Richie Sindani come out and have a big game here? That would be huge for the Stampeders as well. And I'm really interested to see how much the run game is involved, because we saw Kadeem Carey absolutely go off with 20 carries in that last game against Saskatchewan. How involved is he going to be in this contest? He was dealing with back spasms before the Saskatchewan game. Hasn't popped up on the injury report this week at all, which is a great sign for the Stamps, because you're hoping that that positive momentum that Carey had will keep going. So that'd be your two keys. Get your run game going. Get your receivers out there. Catch some balls. And then, you know, if you can keep Chris Rainey, who's returning from injury, subdued in the return game, you're probably going to be pretty good. So basically, the keys to the game are just play well in every faucet.
That's cutting-edge stuff, man.
Yeah, that's really good. Really went full circle for you there, boys. There you go. No problem.
I'll try to transition this as best I can. Matty, they didn't play well at all facets back on August 12th.
That's a good segue. Good job.
These two teams met up in week two. Of course, you go back, there was the starting quarterback controversy. Mike Riley got the start for the Lions, but really it was their defense that dominated the Stampeders team, holding them to just 9 points. Now, obviously, going back to August is a lifetime almost in the CFL. Things have changed dramatically for both teams heading into this week's matchup. What do you see as the biggest differences for both of these teams since we saw them play each other last?
Well, the biggest one is that Bo Levi Mitchell's not playing on a broken leg. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for the Stampeders, because back in week two, of course, he was playing on the broken leg. We found out after the game that in week one, he was hit by Charleston Hughes, had a break in his fibula, one of the bones that, you know, connects the knee to the foot for all of our doctors out there. So that's probably the biggest thing, is that Bo Levi Mitchell's back and starting to look more and more like himself, more comfortable with this offense. And then Jamar Wall is another one. Like, he was out for that game too. And I think that really showed when Brian Burnham and Lucky Whitehead were able to break off some pretty big runs. Now, Jamar was playing the Sam linebacker position back to start the season, and now he's at the safety spot. But coach has talked about the safety and the Sam kind of being almost interchangeable, the way the Stampeders play on their defense. So I think having Jamar Wall back is a big boost. And granted, you don't have Royce Metchie, which in itself is a big loss. But the Stampeders' defense has come a long way. The defensive line, I think that there's more of an idea of, you know, the role that everyone is trying to fill right now, which has been good for the team. And they've got a run game. They haven't had it for long. They've really only shown a really explosive game last week. But I think that's the biggest thing for the Stampeders, is they've got a run game that they can go to behind an offensive line that for 3 weeks straight is going to be the exact same. We didn't see that for the entire season before the Stampeders' week eight bye. So those would probably be the notable ones. Bo Levi Mitchell healthy, Jamar Wall healthy, and, of course, a strong offensive line that's got some continuity, has been able to do meetings together, and Kadeem Carey just coming in with a ton of momentum right now with those Player of the Week honors.
You've touched on him a couple times, but I want to go a little bit deeper on Jamar Wall playing at safety this year, Matty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that obviously injury can play into this, and you mentioned Royce Metchie going down, but what really led to their decision-making process and taking him from that Sam linebacker spot and bringing him to safety? I would say I've loved the play of Brandon Dozier this year, even when Jamar Wall was out for those first couple of games due to that injury. So what is all played into them moving him to safety, a spot where we really haven't seen him all that much during his Stampeders career?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is that, you know, I don't, Jamar Wall is not a bad tackler, but even after last game, he mentioned a couple of times, he felt like he left a couple of tackles out there. And I think when you've got a guy like Brandon Dozier, who's extremely physical, he's got great stamina, like he plays on every special teams play, he can come down and he can help stop the run as well, kind of stack the box if you need him to, but he can also get out and help out in coverage. You know, Jamar Wall, I think the biggest thing with him is his communication skills and his ability to read a play and kind of figure out what an opposing offense is trying to do. It helps that he's been in the CFL for 9 years. He really understands the concepts of other offenses in the CFL, especially going against Bull Levi Mitchell for all those years in practice. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that they wanted to make sure that Jamar was on the field, but Brandon Dozier had played so well in those six games that there was no way that you were going to just bring him in as a special teamer. You needed to find a way to get him in. And it just so happened that the Royce Metchie bicep injury, the season-ending torn bicep, happened right as Jamar Wall became healthy and was able to return. Now, it did create a little bit of a challenge on the defensive line as far as managing the ratio. They've had to go with two Canadians on the defensive line at all times now, whereas previously they could go with just one because Royce was the other Canadian at the safety spot. But they've also got a lot of confidence in their Canadians, like Isaac Adeyemi. Berglund is a guy who they're very comfortable with. And then Derek Wigan, who I've also mentioned, is another national on the defensive line. So you've got two absolute studs there. And then they've got a couple other guys that they trust as well. Like Vincent Desjardins is going to be the other Canadian that they're going to rotate in. And then the other thing that they can do as an option is they'll bring in Fraser Sopik as a fourth linebacker and then just rush three American defensive linemen, or two Americans and Derek Wigan. So sometimes they'll use Fraser Sopik as that second Canadian on the defense as well. But that would be the biggest reason that Jamar Wall has moved to the safety spot rather than the Sam, is just a little bit of using players to their absolute best skill set, I would say.
Matty Rose is with us. He is our Stampeders insider, getting you set for the Stamps and the BC Lions tomorrow night, 5 o'clock kickoff from BC Place in Vancouver. Also is on the call tonight. He's got your Calgary Hitmen pregame show. Hitmen and Red Deer Rebels go at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6. Set us up for tonight at the Dome, Matty.
Yeah, the boys are getting after it. Season is underway. The Hitmen have played 3 games, the lowest amount in their conference. And this weekend, we got a home-and-home with the Red Deer Rebels this evening at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. 6 o'clock pregame, like you mentioned, Patty, doing my best Steinberg impersonation. We'll see how it goes. Excited for the pregame. Jeff Chanel is... pretty hard. Jeff Chanel is going to drop by just after 6 o'clock. He joined us last weekend to preview the season as well, but the Hitmen came out and made a pretty big trade. Luke Prokop now with the Edmonton Oil Kings, traded away from the Calgary Hitmen, so he's going to stop by to discuss that. We've also got on tap a chat with Riley Fiddler-Schultz, who looks to be the first-line center for the club this year. I'm looking forward to this one because we're going to see 4 NHL draft prospects that were all drafted in 2021. Jaden Grubb, who is the first pick of the 3rd round, taken by the New York Rangers, a Calgarian, centerman for the Red Deer Rebels. And then Kyle Masters, a 4th-round pick of the Minnesota Wild, is going to be on their blue line. Then for the Hitmen, you've got Sean Chagall, left winger, drafted by the Anaheim Ducks in the 5th round, and Tyson Galloway, a defenseman who was drafted in the 5th round by the St. Louis Blues. So we got 4 NHL prospects, plenty of guys who could still get drafted in the 2022 NHL draft. And these are two teams that are going to be fighting for some playoff position as well. Like, the Edmonton Oil Kings are a very good team. I think Medicine Hat's going to have a great team. Lethbridge is always solid. And apart from that, I think that there's some room to grab. So the Hitmen have a younger team this year, but I'm excited to see how they do and watch some of these prospects grow. And this weekend, it's the Red Deer Rebels, but we're looking forward to it. Troy Gillard, the voice of the Rebels, is also going to be in our pregame show, taking us up until 7 o'clock puck drop.
Troy Gillard's a Sate grad, so he gets extra marks from me. He's a good boy.
Less marks from me.
One of my absolute favorites. Glad to hear. Glad to have some Troy G on the pregame show. It'll be Maddie, it'll be Brad Curl, and Jeff Hollick on the call. Hitmen Rebels tonight. Hitmen hockey starts at 6. Puck drop at 7. Stamps play tomorrow in BC. Kickoff at 5. Good stuff, Maddie. Have a good show tonight. Enjoy the game tomorrow too.
And we got the Calgary Colts Sunday afternoon as well, taking on the Winnipeg Rifles. Me and Will Nault will have your broadcast there, 1 o'clock start, with Allardyce Bauer Consulting, getting those broadcasts on the air.